This is a special Sunday, as I said before, Christ the King Sunday. And each year when it comes up, I try to find an appropriate scripture verse that brings us together to give praise to Jesus and to acknowledge him as the King. Today, God's word is from Revelation. The first chapter, reading from grace, from verse 4. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. As we think about this as being Christ the King Sunday, I want to ask you a few questions. Well, basically one. Who is your King? You know, we used to play this nice game. It was called King of the Hill. You ever play that? Mm-hmm. Could play it on a, well, not today, but I mean, yeah, big snow mound. You can play King of the Hill with your friends, or maybe even a grassy knoll, or maybe like I and a friend, we were at Grandpa Anderson's farm, and we picked a hill to play King of the Hill, although it was a manure pile. I want you to think about being King of the Hill. You know, in our world, there are figurative kings. All we have to do is look at England. That's a figurehead. It's not a real ruler, because they rule by parliament. But it's interesting. Interesting to see how much honor they give someone who has no authority. King Charles really doesn't have any authority. He's a figurehead. But we look on kings like that, that they rule their own land. We look at kings that they've got this penthouse high up on a hill, you know, a building they can see for miles around. They think, oh, I'm King of the Hill because I've got all this wealth and power and authority. But who's your king? Some people in the world is going to say, well, I am the king. I have amassed much greatness and much power and much riches. I got a Mercedes sitting in the driveway. Oh, by the way, it's convertible. I got a big SUV, and I've got a one-ton truck to pull my 50-foot RV. I'm really in the goods. I'm king. Think about it. This is what our world tells us that we have to be. We have to be up there with, and used to be, keep up with the Joneses. It used to be you had to have the great things. And so the other day on TV, they were showing some of these beautiful Black Friday gifts, and one was a 70-inch TV. And I said to Karen, I said, hey, let's get that. That's a 70-inch TV. She says, where are we going to put it? This is what people think. 70-inch TV. And or vehicles. Or when we walk around Lake City, and especially down around the marinas, that there are sailboats and people are trying to get the best sailboat, and you see these huge sailboats, and then you see these huge cruisers. This is what our world is telling us, that greatness is, that a king is. I need to be that king. I need to have all of these riches. Then I'm going to go places. You know, I often thought when I was in the ministry, and I never did receive a call to a large church. And I was saying, you know, Lord, why don't you give me a large church? Let's be pews filled. The Lord answered me. He sent me to Redeemer, Langdon, and Zion, Munich, North Dakota. Small congregations, but people of heart and faith who knew their king didn't rely on themselves, even though they farmed 2,000 acres. They knew who their king was. Their king was Jesus. There's also another king. And this falls about some of us too, or people that we know. I rule with Jesus. And Jesus, yeah, he and I are buddy buddies. And I will be ruler with Jesus with my arm around him. That thought infected a couple of the disciples whose mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, she went to Jesus and she wanted her sons, James and John, to rule with Jesus when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus' response was, that is not my will to give. You see, a lot of people think that this, and I'm going to have to find the statement that I wrote down so I say it correctly. Some people think that God helps those who help themselves. That's in the Bible. But it's not. It is a kind of a twinge or a stretch or whatever of this ruling with Jesus. Now I'm going to rule with him. We're going to be powerful. We're going to be mighty. It's just us against the world. And this has infected a lot of people. But who is king? Who's your king? You know, come Advent, some churches put these catch, I think that's how you pronounce it, out with the manger scene. Yeah, I mispronounce a lot of stuff. But you have Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and maybe some shepherds, maybe a cow or something lying there. Well, we were in International Falls, and one of the people of the congregation, he remade that whatever it is, and it stood high like this, and it was beautiful. And it had depth, and it had hay, it had the baby Jesus, it had Mary and Joseph. And then all of a sudden, one day, we discovered that Jesus was missing. We made a police report because Jesus was missing. Somebody took Jesus. Really. So we made a police report and it was in the paper about Jesus missing and everything. Couldn't find Jesus. Well, it became spring. The celebration still went off of Christmas and no Jesus. But anyway, when spring came and Karen and I were walking up to the restaurant, all of a sudden, underneath the pine tree on the corner of the church, there was Jesus lying softly. So we don't know what happened to Jesus, but we knew that he was there. Sometimes we think that because Jesus isn't present in my life, he's not there. But he is truly there because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is the one who went to the cross for us. Jesus is the one who died for us and died for our sins. Sin of being lazy, apathetic, not worthy, tearing ourselves apart. Jesus has died for every sin that we have committed, even the sins that you two have committed against each other. Jesus has forgiven. And you, with your family, Jesus has forgiven you all your sins. I love it when I go on vacation. And when we went down to Gulf Shores a couple years ago, and the church found out that I was a pastor, well, I kind of told them I was a pastor. Yeah, Karen's rolling her eyes. I kind of told them I was a pastor. And, oh, do you want to help? I said, no, when I'm on vacation, when I'm gone, I'd like to sit and hear the word. And it's very, very pronounced. And I love it to sit in the congregation and hear the word of God preached and taught. This last winter, we're down in Tampa, and we went to a congregation. And the pastor and I think it was, she was DCE or something, they stood out there and they greeted one another. And then they had their coffee over here, and Karen says, well, we're going to go out the other door. We don't want to stop for coffee. Because they're going to corral us and talk to us and see where we're from. But they knew where we were from with our license plate, Minnesota. But you heard the word. And it was so refreshing to sit in the pew and hear that from another pastor, that Jesus is King. That Jesus is our King. That Jesus is our ruler, our crucified Lord and Savior. He is the one who we worship. He is the one who is here. And Brian, it doesn't make any difference how many people we have here. Jesus is among us. And Jesus hears every infirmity, every problem, every word of ours, and our word of honor and thanksgiving. It is amazing. The world looks at those who sing with Queen. We are the champions. We're up here in the world. Nobody can dethrone us. And you know the world, the sports world is great for this. You ever hear the sportscasters, as soon as the first ball is pitched, or the football is thrown, or the puck is hit, they start saying, well, this team's going to make the playoffs. Playoffs aren't even for 3 months now. Mm-hmm. And they're crowning the king. Mm-hmm. They're crowning the victor. We don't have to worry. The victor has been crowned. And that is Jesus, our victorious King. Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, who comes into our lives. And he makes us new people. And that's why Paul says to the Corinthians, no, I forgot it. Anyway, Paul says that since Christ is in us, the old has passed away, the new has come. That's Jesus. He is new, and he is our victor, and he is our King. In Christ's holy name, amen.